We had people talking about the financial situation of our country, and they were trying to work out whether we were heading towards another stock market crash or would the interest rates go up. And they said they don't, and we were being told, don't miss what to do with your money. If you had the money and you wanted to buy a house, they were saying buy a house now before rates and everything might change. They didn't want us to miss out on knowing that. If you've been to the shops recently, I was really surprised during the week. I know for the last month or two we've been seeing all the things for Halloween have been out, but I was surprised that even though we haven't got to Halloween yet, there were more items in the store for Christmas, more than Halloween. But they were telling us, get in now, make sure you can buy what you want now, get your presents now when it's cheaper before Christmas time and the lead up to Christmas time. Australia Post had another one. They do this on a regular basis. They have auctions for items that are not claimed. They have lots of items that get not claimed throughout the year in the post, and they put them on auction, and they normally go for a very cheap price. And they were advertising and talking about that, saying, don't miss this. The deal of the year, you can get lots of things at a cheap price. Don't miss out. Recently, you've probably been hearing, depending on which company you work for and things, a lot of companies coming out of COVID have still kept the idea of working from home. And they are saying that their employees are better, the company's better off. Both the employers make more money, the companies make more money. So they said, don't miss out. If you can actually work for a company that allows you to work from home, do for it. Everyone is a winner. You don't want to miss. But do you notice something that was the common theme in all of those opportunities that they said, don't miss? It all revolved around money. Well, today we come to the second last in our series on 2 Corinthians. And we're looking at chapters 8 and 9. And the Apostle Paul is going to tell the Corinthian church something that he doesn't want them to miss. Do you know what it is? He wants to talk to them about money and giving in particular. So how do you feel when the Bible talks about money? Do you clutch your wallet or your purse even tighter? Do you tune out and can't wait for the preacher to finish? Or are you interested to know what God says about money? Or maybe when it comes to giving in church and other things, you're a bit like the little girl in this little cute little story I heard during the week, where a mother said to her daughter, when you go to chat, here's a dollar coin and a 20-cent coin. When you go to children's church, you make a choice which one you're going to put in the plate. And a mum couldn't wait until the end of the service to go ask what she did. And so she went up to her daughter and said, what did you do? And the daughter said, I was going to put the dollar coin in the plate. But then our leader of the group said, God loves a cheerful giver. And I knew, mum, that I'd be more cheerful if I only gave the 20 cents and kept the dollar. Maybe we feel a bit like that when it comes to giving. How do you feel when we talk about God? Talk about God and money. Do you think that God actually talks much about money? Well, let me surprise you. For some of you, it may not be a surprise. But do you realize that one out of every six verses in the Gospels, one out of six talks about money or possessions? When you think about the stories that Jesus told, the parables that he told. He told around, we have recorded about 29 of them. 16 of them, over half of them, revolve around money. You can imagine, we have this saying, don't we, that the money makes the world go round, or the world revolves around money. It seems like God knew that from the very beginning. God knew that money was so important to us, not just to people who maybe focused so much on money they didn't have a chance to think about him, but even for his own people, that money may be a challenge for us, so we too would need to know how to handle our money. God talks a lot about it. Jesus talks a lot about it. But it's funny though, isn't it? Even though they talk a lot about it, and a lot of it in the Bible, at times we find it uneasy to talk about, don't we? We find it uneasy in church to talk about money, to talk about giving. But today, Paul challenges the church at Corinth about giving. And it's a challenge that I think, too, we need to learn from for us as well today. That's why I've called today's message, Money Matters. To whom? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to our world? Does it matter to God? And that's what we want to look at. I want to paint a picture for you. Imagine, it's a very sad imagination, but imagine that this church burnt down. And for the other churches in our region, we're in the Northern Rivers Baptist Association, they decided they wanted to take up an offering to try to help us get back on our feet. And one of the churches in our area is Mwilumbah. And Mwilumbah is a small church, really can't afford a minister, the building's falling down, financially they're really, really struggling and everything else. But they put their hand up and say, we want to help our Christian brothers and sisters in Casino. And the other churches in the region say, you can't afford to do that. We don't expect you to do that. Yeah, don't worry, look after yourself. But the church in Mwilumbah says, I'm going to do it anyway. We'll take up an offering. Even if we can't pay the bills for the next month, we will give to Casino Baptist Church. Now, we might look at that and think, oh, it's a nice little story, but would never happen. Well, it hasn't happened in our region, but it's not actually a made-up story. Because that story is the story of the churches in Macedonia where Paul was writing this letter. And he's going to talk about them. This church in Macedonia, or the churches in Macedonia, they are severely facing persecution. They are extremely poor. They could barely keep the house doors open, but they take up an offering. They take up an offering for a sense, the mother church, the original church in Jerusalem. Because if you were a Christian in Jerusalem, you were persecuted by the Jews at this time. You were persecuted by the Romans. If you were someone who said you loved and followed Jesus and you lived in Jerusalem, that meant for you that, one, you probably lost your job. Two, you faced automatic double taxation from the Romans. You could very well be thrown into prison. You might have lost your home and other things. So for the Christians in Jerusalem, life was at its worst. They couldn't eat. They barely had a roof over their heads. And so they cried out for help. And the Apostle Paul travels on his journey and he goes to different areas. He goes to different churches and he asks, can you please help our brothers and sisters in the Jerusalem church? The church at Corinth, the church that has a lot of issues, and we've touched on them throughout this series, the church in Corinth who thought they were super spiritual, they were super proud of all that they had done, the church in Corinth that had also pretty much left God out of the picture and were just doing it all themselves, we talked about the false teachers last week and the week before, they said, yes, we will give. Yes, we will give a lot. And Paul writes to them, and in verse 11 of chapter 8, he says this, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. The Corinthian church said, we're going to give a lot, everyone's going to be so happy about us giving. And Paul comes along and says, well, where is it? You haven't actually given anything. You've given lip service. But let me tell you about this church where I'm at the moment. The church is in Macedonia. They're persecuted. They suffer extreme poverty. But they've given. And they've given probably more than you ever will, church at Corinth. Learn from their example. And today as we come, we want to look at this church. We want to look at what Paul says here because I think we can learn from their example. And in the first thing he tells them to learn is give according to grace. Let me read to you verse 1 and 2 of chapter 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Yeah, the church at Corinth, they patted themselves on the back. They were so proud of all they did. The church at Corinth, in a way, thought they were super Christians. But Paul, when he talks about the church at Macedonia, he doesn't call them super Christians. He doesn't call them super spiritual. He doesn't say that they are the hardest workers and raise so much money doing cake sales and other fundraisers. No. The first thing he says is, the Macedonian church knows the grace that God has given them, and they give out of that grace. They give out of the thankfulness for what God has done. That the Macedonian church looks at what God is doing through them, the grace that flows through them, and because of that, it is automatic. They want to be generous. It says, you know, they're facing severe trial, extreme poverty, but their response because of God's grace, overflowing joy, and rich generosity. God's grace flows through them. They have been given so much grace that they just want to pass it on. They've been given so much grace that even though they've got nothing, they want to give nothing and everything that they can on. And Paul commends them for following the greatest example down in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Paul reminds the church at Corinth of what the Macedonian churches knew. They had so much grace, so much mercy, so much from God because of what Jesus had done for them. And because of that, the grace, the joy, the generosity just automatically flowed from them. You could see the stark difference, though, can't you, to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church that were pretty much following false teachers and not God, who had pretty much shunned Paul now in his teaching. They didn't want anything to do with him because he was coming around asking for an offering for Christian brothers and sisters. But the challenge he gives them is to reflect, why do they give? Why do they want to give? And do they give just out of what's in their wallet, or do they give out of grace? Do they really realize at this church in Corinth what God has done for them? Do they really realize the grace that they have been shown? You can understand the implied question though, can't you? If they do, they would give, just like the Macedonians. I think that's a good challenge for us to think about. When we think about our giving, not just with money, but Paul is focusing on money. But when we think of time, we think of service, we think of ministry that we might be involved with for God. Do we give out of grace? Do we give because we know what God has done for us and that just flows out of us that we want to be rich with our generosity? Or are we more worried about just what's in our wallet? There's an old saying, I think, that holds true. The hand that is open to give is also open to receive. In chapter 9, Paul goes on to remind them that what you sow, you will reap. And the challenge is, if you know God's grace, and if that you understand all that God has done, and you let God's grace flow through you, then you want to dispense that grace. You want to pass that grace on to others. You want to give it. You want to be generous with it. And when you do that, you get to see more of God's grace in your life. You get to see more of God's grace in the person's life that you've given to. You get to see more of God's grace in the lives of your church and community. And Paul challenges them to say, you know, when you let this grace flow on, when you give generously, you grow in faith. Look down in verse 7 of chapter 8. But since, remember the church at Corinth, they thought they were super intellectual, super smart, super spiritual. Look what he says to them. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, basically saying to them, you know, they've been saying to Paul, we're better than you, that we're greater than you in everything. we're number one. He makes a comment about that, but then he says at the end, and see that you also excel in the grace of giving. They would tick the boxes for the first one. We do all this. We're super spiritual. We're super great. But Paul says, where's the giving? You said you would be a part and give to the offering, but you haven't done it. Look at the Macedonian church, have nothing, are being persecuted and tortured and everything else every day, and they're generous in their giving. The challenge for them to the church at Corinth, the challenge for, I think, for us, Paul says it's a gift to give. See that you also excel in the grace of giving. Giving should flow out of grace because giving is a means of grace. A grace that we could pass on to people. But that's only the first part of what Paul says. Not just remember the grace that you've been shown and pass that grace on in your giving, but also remember that giving is actually an act of worship. Look at verse 5. And they exceeded our expectations, talking about the Macedonian church. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God, also to us. If you know what God has done for you, Paul says, if you know the grace that has flowed from God that you've received, then it should manifest itself that you want to pass that grace on. You want to be generous in your giving because you see it as worship. Now, when we often hear talk in our church that worship isn't just the songs. Now, we worship as we pray. We worship as we read God's word. We worship as we hear from God's word. And we worship when we give money in the plate. It's all worship. And Paul reminds them of that, that if you put Jesus first, if your life is about following him, then, you know, as it says in other parts of Scripture, we become more like Christ. And therefore, we start to think more like Christ. We want to follow God's word to be more like Christ. And that means the flow out would be that we would also give. See, appropriate worship is that we bring our best to God. You probably heard the old saying, to worship God is to bring your best, not the rest. But what do we bring? What do we bring as far as our giving goes? Not just financially, but time-wise. Ministry-wise, service-wise, do we actually give God our best? Let me share a poem with you. I don't know who wrote this poem, but let me share it with you. Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve them to a guest. And yet, we serve them to our Lord, who deserves the very best, but we just give him the leftover time. Stray minutes here and there, leftover cash we give to him, such few coins as we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife. Then in our declining years, we give to him the remnant of life. Is that true for us? Is it true for us that we give our best to our world, we give our best to ourselves, we give our best to our family, we give our best to other relationships, our work, our school? Those are all good things. Don't hear me say they're not. But shouldn't God get our best? And not just the rest. See, giving doesn't begin with how much money we've got in the wallet. Giving begins with our relationship with Jesus. Giving begins with how much we love and follow and serve him. It's why the church at Macedonia was the example Paul wanted to give. He's a church with nothing, suffering every day, but because of their relationship with Jesus, they're generous because they see the giving as an opportunity to worship. Do we see it the same way? But more than that, Paul says, thirdly, give what we have. Look at verse 12. For if the willingness is there, The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Often, I think when we hear sermons talking about giving, it can be very easy to come up with the thought, well, if I had more money, if I had won the $50 million Powerball during the week, if work paid me more, so in other words, if financially we were better off, then I would give more or give some. And maybe you found yourself saying things like that. But that's not what Paul is saying here. See, our faithfulness to God is not measured by the size of the gift, but rather by the size of the sacrifice. Do you remember the parable that Jesus taught? The lady who came in and all she had were a couple of little copper coins. The wealthy came in and didn't do anything or just gave a little bit of their money. She came in and it was all she had. And Jesus said she went away blessed. Faithfulness is never measured by the size of the gift. It's measured by the size of the sacrifice. The Macedonian church sacrificed everything for the mother church. They gave all and God blessed them. You know, at times it might mean when we give out of what we give a lot, we make a big sacrifice. It may mean that we lose out on something going ahead. We might struggle for a while financially or in other ways. But that's what God is calling us to do. Know out of the grace what God has done. Out of that, let that drive you to respond. See giving as worship and give out of what you have. I was challenged during the week to see an article that talked about who are the greatest givers in the world. Now, when you think of the greatest givers in the world, now you'd think of some of the great philanthropists, some of now Bill Gates giving away billions of dollars and things like that. That's what I would have thought. But last year in America, they looked at the question, who are the greatest givers? And they looked at the households across America. They realized that in the poorest households in America, they gave at least 10% of the income they had. The richest households gave less than 4%. The thought was at the end of the survey that the poorest give the most. We live in a beautiful country. We live in a very easy country. We have so much to give. Even when we think we have nothing, we have so much more than most people in the world. Do we give our best to God? Or do we just give our leftovers? Are we still waiting for that payday from God? And when He blesses us with huge financialness, then we'll give back. Or are we hearing the challenge that Paul gives? Do we give out of grace? Do we give because it's worship? Do we give out what we have now? Because giving, when you think of giving, it's the sacrifice. Giving helps us grow in our faith. Giving helps us grow in our trust because we have to rely on God to provide, don't we? I wonder how our trust is going today. So one of the things you often hear me say is that everything we have is not ours. Everything we have comes from God. And in a way, I think about it that God has given it to me on loan. So in other words, what am I going to do with God's stuff? What are you going to do? I want to finish in a way that echoes that with a quote from J. Oswald Sanders, and it says this: the basic question is not how much money should we give to God? No. But how much money, God's money, should we keep for ourselves? Let me repeat that. The basic question is not how much money should we give to God, But how much of God's money should we keep for ourselves? Do we give God our best? Or do we give God the rest? Money matters. We'd all say money matters to us. But it also really matters to God. Not so much the dollar value, but the heart that gives and what we do with it. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we know at times that the focus on money can take our focus away from you. But Paul used the challenge of giving to remind people in the church at Corinth that it was about faith. It was about sacrifice. It was about grace and everything that you had given them. Lord, we need to hear that same message today. Father, help us to give out of that grace. Help us to be thankful for all that you do give. And even when we feel like we do not have, help us to give out of that as well. Father, we do not know whether the Corinthian church responded to Paul's call or not, but help us follow the example of the Macedonian church as they grew in faith, as they trusted for you to provide. Help us this week, help us today to do that in your name. Amen.